Okay.
Now, hopefully, actually, let's learn for Mrs. Unger. She should have a refuah shleima. Thank God she's okay. She's, I think, coming out today. Came home. She's home? Yeah. But we hope that she has a complete recovery and that we'll see her here in the shiur again soon. Okay, I'm on page 124 in the Art Scroll Chumash. Parashas Toldos. But I don't want to begin at 164. Okay, I want to begin a little bit after that, because really Toldos is really about the life of Yitzchak. And if you blink, if you don't look carefully, you could almost miss Yitzchak. You forget about Yitzchak. You because it goes by so fast. And we're going to have to ask why. What is it about Yitzchak? What is the essential element of Yitzchak? What is the nature of Yitzchak Avinu that the Torah is trying to convey to us? And why does he seem to live such a sad life? I mean, maybe that's just me. Did anybody else have that perception? When you look at what we'll read about Yitzchak, and we'll soon see. And in a way, you have to see that his life isn't sad. It's great. But in our day and age, everyone would look at Yitzchak and say that he's sad. Because in our day and age, everybody has to be out in front. And has to be... front stage, front and center. Everybody has to see what you're doing. You know, you have to make your websites and have your publicity, and everybody has to know about you. What? There's no dignity in, like you say, quiet success. And I think that's something that Yitzchak really highlights. Mrs. Snow wanted to say something. Raise down.
What we talked last week, that he was more submissive, maybe because of the Akedah, but he wasn't like his father or like his...
Now, I want to clarify, because I think it's very dangerous when you talk about Yitzchak. People have a tendency to say, well, Yitzchak, he must have been scarred by the Akedah. He must have had psychological problems or issues. And I think that it's very dangerous to start playing pop psychology with the Avos. Well, you know, if you want to start playing psychology, let's look at Abraham Avinu. Well, he had a traumatic issue with the fire when he was young, right? And so he must have suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome for the rest of his life. And of course, he then, because of his psychological issues, then tried to kill his son. And then Yitzchak, because of his psychological issues, of course, neglects his children, which of course follows through to Yaakov's children as well. You can have that perspective, but then of course you have no respect for the others and no understanding of what it means to have the sorrow. So if you people who try to do that, I think it's a very dangerous thing, because it really goes down a very slippery slope. And the reason why the Torah conveys to us the stories about the Avos, about our forefathers, is to give us a sense of who they were, what their personalities were like, archetypes of certain personalities, but with a sense of reverence. Not with a sense of, you know, laissez-faire. I've heard people say, and some people say, Yitzchak was somewhat, emotionally deficient or retarded or something like that. Yeah. I cannot disagree in strong enough language.
You agree to everything.
Except when he doesn't. You know, he has his way. But the fact that he has his way doesn't minimize his personality. And to say that, well, you know, he was a mama's boy, and he loved his mother, and then he relied on his wife, I think that that's very short-sighted, and I think that takes away from who he was.
So, in that vein, I don't like to see any pictures of any of them.
I don't know. I mean,
slips and no.
Why not?
Because of the same reason you say, it takes away something.
Why? I mean, it takes away in what way?
I don't like to see a person. I don't like to see actually a person pretending that's Yitzchak. That's wrong.
So I don't take it that far.
I don't like to see a picture.
Why not?
The same reason as you just said.
No, I said to put them down. That, you know, to give psychological definitions to issues we have no idea about. Because it only gives us some details. And you try to apply, well, if this happened to me, then I would be scarred forever.
But
it's not you.
I don't like to see
that. So I'm disagreeing. I don't see what harm it does.
But he leaned towards the wrong son.
What?
He said he leaned towards the wrong son.
I wouldn't say the wrong son. He leans towards the son he sees strength in. You know, he picks the other one in the end. We're not going to talk about that today, but I think we talked about that last year, didn't we? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, so turn to page 26. Yes, last year we did talk about Yaakov and Esau. So today I want to talk a little bit about Yitzchak. Okay, Hi, page 128, Parakav Vav. Vayi Ra'av Baret. Milvad Ha-Ra'av HaRishon Asher Ayah Bimei Avraham. There was a famine in the land. Milvad, what does Milvad mean? Aside from, but what does it imply, Milvad? There was a famine in the land aside from the famine that they had before. So already, first of all, the Torah is saying, well, of course it's a new famine. But what's the word Milvad trying to tell you? What is, when you see the word Milvad, except from?
Something happened.
What does that mean? And I just had a Slurpee, with the exception of the Slurpee I had last week. What did I just say?
Besides that.
Of course besides that one. I just had a Slurpee now.
It's a new one.
And therefore, Vayira Avarish, and there was a famine in the land. What is it? Meaning, you have to ask me though, any time that there's a phrase like that.
In addition to.
But don't I know that anyway?
No, you don't, because then you discuss it before.
You mean that there was a famine going on the whole time? Is that possible?
No.
It's a new one.
It's a new famine again.
So, what's that?
It is something that repeated.
Why? What do you mean it wasn't the same?
It wasn't the same kind of
as your neighbor.
Okay, now you're getting somewhere. What do you mean it wasn't the same kind? Okay. So what is that telling you? Meaning, you have to read the Torah in this way. When the Torah says something, you have to ask, why does it say that? What if it just said, Vayihi ra'av v'aretz, Vayelech yitzak al abimach melech mishpim gerar. What do I mean? There's a whole phrase in there. Milvad ha-ra'av ha-rishon asher ayah b'nei Abraham. Milvad ha-ra'av ha-rishon asher ayah b'nei Abraham. Seven words. What are the seven words doing there? You can't tell me that they don't tell me anything, because if they didn't tell me anything...
They wouldn't be telling you the history
they're feeding you. Ah, first and foremost. But it's not even telling you that. I think the word milvad means something a little bit more. Okay? And then you can remember... To me, at least, I mean, maybe I'm making this up, but to me, the word milvad means in addition to, greater than. Did it hit you too also, Drew, that way? Yeah, milvad means much more than the fast that happened in the days of Abraham. Meaning, Yitzchak waited and waited, but now he's suffering more than his father Abraham did. That he knows what his responsibility is, but he still has to go. Moreover, Rashbam says, Lohutzlach pasuk zeh, I didn't know this pasuk. Ella, lohodiyacha, to tell you, shekashem she'Avraham haviv holech b'shil ha-ra'av l'mitzrayim, just like Abraham, his father, went down to Egypt, kach haya yoreid, kach yitzchak yoreid mitzrayim derech eretz plishtim. Just like Abraham went to Egypt, therefore Yitzchak was going to go to Egypt, down to the land of the plishtim. Okay? Ulekach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al teired mitzrayim. That's why God says, don't go to Egypt. Stay where you are. Don't go farther. So he's going Derek Gerar. Where's Gerar? Anybody know?
Gerar.
Anybody know? Where's Gerar? Anybody been to Gerar? It's on the way to Egypt. Let's assume it's in Gaza, towards Gaza. That's where the Philistine used to live, along the coast. So Yisrael is on the way. But I get a sense that, A, in magnitude, the famine was greater. But in addition, the Pasuk is now making a direct connection between Yitzchak and Abraham. And when you see things like this, the Torah is cluing you in and saying to you a very great deal about Yitzchak. What do I need to know about Yitzchak?
He fell
in the way of his father. Okay? You also have to ask another question. Why is there a famine in the land? Why was there a famine in the land the first time? God doesn't just do things. It doesn't just happen that there was. Not Vayihi. There was a famine in the land. Why was there a famine in the land at the time of Abraham? According to many Mepharshim?
To
punish the people?
Yeah.
Or to test Abraham? God is testing Yitzchak the same way he's testing Abraham. Okay. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech Melech Plishtim Gerara. So Yitzchak went to land of Plishtim. Vayira elav Hashem. God appears to him by Yom and he says, Al Tered Mitzrayimah. Don't go to Egypt. Meaning, as the Rashbam and Rashi explain, Yitzchak was going to go to Egypt. Why? That's what Abraham Avinu did. Shchon ba'aret asher amar eleka. Now you have to stay here. Wur ba'aret hazos. Live in this land. Ve'ayye imcha ba'archecha avarchecha. I'll be with you and I will bless you. Ki lecha ulezaracha etein kol harzo sha'el. Because for you and your children are going to go give the land of God. Va'ki mosi es ha'shvua eshe mishbati la'avraham avicha. And I'm going to establish the oath that I gave to Abraham, your father. Now, whenever I read this, I sort of feel bad for Yitzchak. The question you have to ask yourself is, did Yitzchak feel bad for Yitzchak? Why do I feel bad for Yitzchak?
Cannot do what he wants to do.
Right. More than that, though.
What's all about?
Right. He's literally living in the shadow of his father.
But don't we all say schut avot then?
Yeah, but you have schut avot, right? But, you know, what did your mother do for a living?
She did almost what I did.
All right, that example. There's somebody else. She was oh, good.
She knew the Tanakh by heart.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, okay. What?
Special.
But you wouldn't, meaning, would you want to live and be born into the mold of your father? I have a friend who's well-known. He's a very well-known person. His father was a well-known rabbi. I think I could say his name because he's well-known. His name is Joshua Lookstein. Anybody ever heard of a Lookstein, Rabbi Lookstein?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rabbi Lookstein is a rabbi. Well, he was at Yeshiva University. Rabbi Lookstein is the rabbi of, what's the name of the shul? What? Right, Kielos Jessen, KJ.
His father
was also the rabbi of KJ, mm-hmm. Kielos Yeshiva, and his father was the rabbi of the predecessor of that shul. So now Josh went to Shemichah with me, and he became the assistant rabbi of KJ. Meaning what? His father, when he would be ready to retire, he would hand over the reins. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it. He decided it wasn't for him. And so he left the rabbinate. He decided it wasn't for him. Imagine growing up, you know, it's bad enough with my son. You know, oh, the rabbi's son, a little rabbi, you know. And I try to tell people to be very careful about that. My father always said, and I'm pretty sure he meant it. He said, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a plumber, as long as, A, you're a Jewish plumber, and you do it well. And it's something that was communicated to me very strongly, you know? Yeah, it is good. It's absolutely true. You know, so my son doesn't want to, you know, wants to become a rabbi. I don't know how I feel. But if he doesn't want to become a rabbi, what? That I don't. It's very interesting. My grandfather was a pulpit rabbi in Winthrop, Massachusetts. My mother always grew up and said, you don't want to be a rabbi. I was a rabbi's kid, and you don't want to be a rabbi. The good thing is, in fact, it's interesting. When I was going to Nisa, my grandfather was still alive. He said, I was shocked when he said this. He said, I'll go into the rabbinate until you have enough time, and then you could find a different job. Because the rabbanus in the 1950s and 60s and 70s was a very different job than it is today. Thank God. You know, I stand on his shoulders, to be honest with you. It was a much harder job. And Winter, Massachusetts isn't no Detroit that either. That's also true. So can you imagine, as I always say about my son, and I try to tell people this, or I'll ask you also, don't assume that, you know, just because he's the rabbi's son doesn't mean he's any different than anybody else's kids. He's a kid all the same, and he runs around just like everybody else. And, you know, I yell at him for running around just like any other parent would, not as the rabbi, but as a parent would. And so anytime people say, you know, oh, rabbi's son shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that, I'm very defensive about that. Because it's not his choice to be born into as a rabbi's son. So he shouldn't bear the brunt of that. So we should say the same thing about Yitzchak. Yitzchak didn't choose to be Abraham's son. So how come he has to bear the brunt of being Abraham's son? The answer is? That's right. What?
That's what he was.
That's what he was.
He didn't rebel.
Correct. Does he choose it in some way? And one gets a sense very strongly that he does. You know, God tells us all to do a lot of things. God gives all of us mitzvahs, and we can either choose them or we can ignore them.
He was a more passive kind of person than Avraham. He didn't go out as much as Avraham.
Well, how do you know?
But I mean, according to what?
How do you know?
What it says in the Chumash.
You don't know. We don't know what his personality was like. All we know is what happened to him in life and what God asked him to do.
True, but he sat in so many years that you think he was a quieter type.
He didn't even choose his own wife.
He didn't mind his own wife.
Don't get me wrong. Many people don't choose their own wife. What? That's a very modern thing. You know, nowadays we all like to identify with Yaakov. You go to Haran, you see a girl, you kiss her on the lips, hooray! That's what he did, unfortunately. But, you know, but it doesn't work that way. Throughout most of Jewish history, most people got married like Yitzchak, not like Yaakov. What? She wasn't three. Okay, it's a midrash. She wasn't three. You know, but 13 she might have been. 13 she probably was.
Didn't you, they
didn't
get married.
Why not?
Did you grow up in
They married. People married historically, very, very young.
Right.
What are you talking about? You work in your father's house. As soon as you're marriageable age, goodbye. See you later. They throw out. You know, and get married very, very young. So to you, it seems far in 13. But then, you know, you assume responsibilities. You grew
13,
up.
13, yes.
No, not 3. 3 for sure not. Okay. All I'm saying to you is Yitzchak is formed by the choices that he makes. But how do you know he doesn't choose to be passive? You know, we talked about Akedas Yitzchak, right? Poor Yitzchak, shaped forever. How old was he at the time?
37.
37. 37. What do you mean, shaped by personality? Maybe that's he chose Akedas Yitzchak. He allowed himself to be bound. That was his choice. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. His father had a mitzvah to do. That's what he wanted. Between you and me, when I hit 37, my mother wants to tie me up on an altar. I say, hey, Mom, I don't care who talked to you. Right. You know? So people always say, oh, your son was born into that. You have to be born into it. But you have to choose it too. You're both born into it, but you also have to choose it. So a guy says, I'm going to give you the blessing of Yitzchak. Okay? Pasuk Dalin. V'rebe Yishiyas Zavacha K'chokvei HaShemayim V'nasatir Zavacha Et Kol HaRetzel Sa'el. I'm going to make your children multiply like the stars. V'yishbaruchu B'Zavacha Kol Goyei HaAretz. All the nations of the world will be blessed through your children. Why? Ekev Asher Shema Avraham B'Koli. Again. Because Abraham listened into my heart, into my voice, Vayishmor Mishmati, Mitzvotai, Chukosai, the Torah Sai. That he kept my mitzvot, my mishmeret. What does mishmeret mean? Mishmarti. What is Vayishmor Mishmarti? He guarded my mishmeret, the thing which I guard. How is it translated here?
Safeguard.
Obeyed my voice, observed my safeguards, mitzvotai, my commandments, chukotai, my decrees, and my Torah. Okay? The thing that Mepharshim deal with on this pasuk is one very important question, which is, what in the world did Abraham do? What does it mean that Abraham kept mishmarti, mitzvotai, chukotai, torotai? What were all these things that Abraham Avinu kept?
He taught all these people.
Okay, so we have the Akeda. He converted people.
He left Aram
Naharaim.
He taught people about the presence of God.
Okay.
He was tested.
What does God mean? By Yishmor Mishmarti, Mitzvotai, Chukotai, V'Torotai. Is God just using these extra words to be nice? No. Is he saying nice things about Abraham, or is he describing different things? So who are we going to look at first? Rashi. Rashi is going to quote the Midrash. Bless you. What do you think Rashi is going to say? You got it. Very good, Mrs. Snow. Look at Rashi. What?
I remember learning that.
Very good. Rashi. Shema Abraham bekoli. Abraham hearkened my voice. Kishin yishikyo. Tell the top column. When I tested him. Rashi. Vayishmor mishmarti. Zerot laharchaka al asharot shebetorah. Meaning, he didn't even keep just the mitzvot. What did he keep? He kept the mitzvot midrabanan. Kedon shmios la'arayos. So in the Torah it says, you can't marry your mother or your grandmother. So the rabbi said, not only that, you can't marry your great-grandmother either. Good.
So we assume that Hashem told him...
Ushvus l'shvus. Is also, there was halachas of muktzah. The rabbis instituted halachas of muktzah. The pen is muktzah on Shabbos. So Abraham didn't lift up a pen on Shabbos. That's what Rashi says. What's that, Mrs. Barnes?
How do we assume he knows all?
So we'll start with a very interesting question. Okay? Do you take this literally, or don't you? Now, on the one hand, your inclination is to take it literally, because the Midrash says it. But on the other hand, you're dealing with a very significant problem. What's the problem? Yeah, I mean, how could Abraham Avinu keep the Torah, keep Gezeros, keep Shvios L'Arayos that were given thousands of years later?
He spoke with God, maybe God told him about many things.
Yeah, but why would God tell him a Mishnah de Rabbanan the rabbis instituted much later?
Just give him a little insight into it.
Give him a little insight.
A little.
Okay. So if you wanted to, you could say, this Rashi is a polemic against Reform Judaism. How? Because what conservative Reform Judaism says is the following. Conservative. Of course we believe in the Torah. Of course God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. But over the years, the rabbis have hijacked the Torah. Right? They've taken it and warped it beyond all possible meaning. Because there's no way the Torah would want to do X and that God would want you to do Y and God would want you to do Z, because of course we all know that in today's society we live in democracy and we don't believe in, you know, animal sacrifice and the oppression of women. We all feel oppressed, I'm sure. Right? So, what?
We all feel oppressed, right?
Because of all these things, so therefore the rabbis hijacked Judaism into their misogynistic, anti-female, discriminatory religion. So comes along Rashi and says, by the way, you think they weren't saying this when was Rashi's time? You think they weren't saying this in the times of Rashi? And you think they weren't saying this in the times of the Gemara? In the Gemara they had Gerushim and Tzedukim, right? So they had all the Flemis, and then they had everybody else saying, no, we're the real Judaism. We're not like all those other people. So they came on the Midrash and said, the Torah that we keep is the exact same Torah as who? Abraham Avinu. And Abraham Avinu, he divined what God wanted us to do, and the rabbis are simply interpreting the same way. And if Abraham Avinu had the same Zeros, we have the same Zeros too. And if Abraham Avinu, if we can't pick up a pen because it's Muksan Shabbos, Abraham Avinu couldn't as well. Now the question is, do you really think that Abraham Avinu didn't pick up a pen on Shabbos? George, do you think so?
Why
did
he
have a pen?
What?
There were no pens.
What other thing?
Did Abraham Avinu not eat matzah, not eat chametz on Pesach?
Sure, yes.
Did Abraham Avinu keep milk and meat separate? Did he have a separate, whatever? No. So the answer, if you don't believe it, then what, you think the rabbi, the Midrash is wrong? It's crazy? Why would the Midrash say that Abraham Avinu kept the shnios la'arayos if you don't think it's really true? I mean, really, Shnios Arayos, and all the Jeros, Mukta. So he didn't pick up a pen. Did he pick up a quill? I think they had quills back then.
I think so.
Yeah. Or what, did he or didn't he?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Right, so you say, according to Rashi, you'd have to say this. Rashi, I struggle with this. It's interesting, Menachem Leibtag was here. Did anybody hear Menachem Leibtag when he was here a month ago? About? So he spoke about this. I wonder, did Rashi take this midrash literally or not? So very often we have many midrashim and we don't take them literally. We take them as figuratively. So what does it mean? We'll soon see what it means. We're going to look in the Ramban. But I wonder, does Rashi understand it literally or not? And today, many, many people, take this midrashim very literally, and they really do believe that Avraham Avinu kept all the mitzvahs in the Torah, including the mitzvahs to Rabbanah. That Avraham Avinu, and then we'll see how in a second. Okay, so take a sheet and pass it on. Okay. This is the Ramban. Okay, I have one with the vowels. This is the Ramban. Ramban, Nachmanides. This is an important topic to cover. Did Nina talk about this in her thing? No, not yesterday, a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so it's going to be review for you.
No, that's okay.
Review is fine. Okay. Okay. This is Ramban. Everybody have it? Line 1. The line numbers are close. I try as close as I can. Okay. Well, not exact, but I guess it's a good place to start to keep it. Now, if you want to, there's also a Ramban in English. There's a Chevel Ramban. I just didn't have time to scan it. Everybody have one? Excuse me. Vayishmor Mishmarti, Balshon Rashi, Bekoli. That's it in my voice. Kishi Nishikyo, so when I tested him. So now he's just quoting Rashi. Mishmarti, what does it mean by my guardianship? Zeros lahar chaka. Zeros, to go shmios la'arayos, shvus l'shabbos. Right? Shvus. Shvus is a lo sase. It's a drabana. Mitzvotai. What is mitzvotai? Mitzvot, she'ilu lo nichtivu, din hu shi'ekatvu. Mitzvot that if they hadn't been written, they would have been written. Those are regular mitzvot. To go on gezel, u'shvichu damim. Don't murder, right? Humanitarian mitzvot. Those are in the Torah. Chukotai, What are my chukot, my statutes, in the line 5? Dvarim sheyetzer hara v'avodah galilim mishivim alayhem. Those are things that the Yetzer Hara tells you, yeah, what's the big deal? To go on achilat chazir, like not even kosher, or levishat shatnez, not wearing wool and linen together. She'ein tam b'davar ela hamelech gazar chukot alavadah. What is a chok? A chok is, the king says, you do. Torotai, what is my Torotai? Havi, including Torah Shabbateh, Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai. What does it mean when it says Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai? This is Wilbur. Something that God said to Moshe. So, Ms. Wilbur, what are you going to ask me?
Well, no, I'm not. It wasn't even given.
Right. I mean, you're struck with a very interesting question. Because the rabbis also say there's a concept called Hishtakel Be'oraisa Obari Alma. God looked in the Torah and created the world. Correct? Here's the problem. Which Torah? God looked at the Torah that I have in my Aaron Kodesh. How could God create the world with a Torah that hadn't happened yet?
He knew what he was going to do.
Oh, you mean he knew exactly what every one of the Avos was going to do. He knew what Moshe was going to do. He knew what he knew the Jewish people were going to sin at the Meraglim.
Yeah,
a tricky one. That's a tricky one. What? You believe it was all a done deal before it was all written, before the whole thing happened, it was all a done deal. Your life is a done deal. No, sorry, I don't
know. You're
sorry. All right, you're trying not to think too much. Right. Correct.
Yeah, my prayer out many years ago, he was explained to us, it's like two tracks.
Yeah.
Hashem knows what the answer is, but
We don't know the answer.
Don't those seem to be seen to be contradictory things?
No. If God knows, that doesn't mean that I know what's
important. All right, it doesn't bother you. To be honest, it never really bothered me either. What?
But it doesn't let me bother me.
What I'm saying is, I believe. I think maybe this is what you're saying, that God allows us to have free choice, and even though in our own minds it's contradictory, it's impossible, it's really not impossible. But in the confines of the world in which we live, it would be impossible. But in God's world, it's not impossible to allow us to have free choice, even if you know the outcome. Everybody understand what I'm saying?
We believe that
if God knows the outcome, then I don't have free choice. That's what we believe. But I'm telling you, I don't think that that's true. Right, but in our world, it's impossible. In our world, in this world, if I were to go ahead 5 minutes and to know, is Mrs. Engel going to close the book or not in the next 5 minutes? So I traveled ahead in time in 5 minutes, right? And I know. Let's say I did. And I know that Blanche Engel is not going to close the book. Then can she close the book in the next 5 minutes? I come back and I say, I'll bet you $1 million. See, I didn't know.
Right.
No, hold on. One second. Let me finish. Don't change the subject. So therefore, but I think that God has the ability to know and also to give us free choice. Something that in our world is contradictory, in God's world is not impossible. You understand? It's not a limit of God because that our world is limited. Again, we always ask the question, you know, could God create a rock he can't lift? That's a fun question. You know, when you're in high school, they love asking that question. Can God create a rock he cannot lift? Can God create a rock so large that he can't lift it?
No, if God could create the world, how could he not lift a rock? No matter how big.
God could create a rock he can't lift?
Yeah. There is no such thing.
No, so then he can't create a rock he can't lift. So you understand the question? It's like one of those, conundrums. Oh, that was our favorite seventh grade question. Like, can God create a rock he can't lift? Why? Because Manasseh, if God can't create the rock, then God can't create anything. God can't do anything. And if God can't lift the rock, God can't do anything. Right? You got me, right? So what's the answer? The answer is, it's not a limitation on God to say that that he's not limited by the rules of this world. You understand? I mean, to say that God can't create a rock he can't lift is not a limitation on God. So here, to say that God knows the future But we still have to give us free will. God gives us free will. It's not a limitation on God. Yeah.
Don't you say that if that person, if you don't lift a finger without the consent of the Shemayim, and yet we have freedom to do what we want, it's separate. That's the way I'm just a, am I right?
You know
that about another question. That we can't lift up a finger in this world without it being ordained or whatever you want.
I would look at that in a much different way. That without God giving us life and energy and all that kind of stuff, we wouldn't be able to do anything. But it's not a matter of we can't make a choice without God.
We can make a choice. But up there, it's determined what.
There is up there anyway.
Let's go back.
Okay, fine. Line 9, Vin Cain. Kol zeba, if so, kol zeba banui al das haya Abraham mikayim umishamer et haTorah ashelo nitna. So, Mrs. Roberg's question: how could that be? That means that Abraham is keeping a Torah that has yet to be given. The kacham ruv pasuk vayitein yom Yosef agalot. This is what it says in the pasuk: Yosef gave his brothers agalot. Why did he give wagons to his brothers? Yes. To pay Ras Mimenu, the Parshat Egla Arufa. The Midrash says he left them. He was saying a dry Torah on Egla Arufa. They were learning the Gemara. Oh, I heard a good vart on Egla Arufa. Very good. Shkoyach, Shaya Ozek Vatora, Kishem Shayu Abosa. He was learning Torah. Bad Achshav Lo Nidna Torah. Until now, the Torah was not given. But it says, line 15, and God, he kept all those mitzvot. And Abraham was so careful. Yeshli so, line 17 or 18, whichever one it is. Beginning of the paragraph, Yeshli so, in came, Ech Hekim Yaakov Matseva. How could Yaakov erect a man Matseva as a statue? Not a gravestone, a statue. The Nasashte Achayot. How could he marry two sisters? Uchadat Rabotenu Arba. The Midrash says it might have been four sisters. The Amram Moshado Gato. Amram married his aunt. Etc., etc., etc. Line 21. The Hayach Efsar Shiyu Noagim Heter Batorah. The Masha Asar Abraham Avinu Al Asmo. How could the Avos then go, Abraham Avinu kept the Torah? That was for dad. We live in a new time. We don't keep that Torah. Right? Et cetera, et cetera. Let's skip a line. Line 29, next paragraph. Line MR, so now we're going to have a few possible answers. Maybe we can say, what is Mishmarti? What is my covenant? Shniot la'arayot shel b'nei Noach. There were mitzvot at the time. What mitzvot were accepted at the time? The seven Noahide laws. So it's not saying that he was keeping the whole Torah after Matan Torah, but it's saying that there was a transmission. There was a covenant at the time. Shiva Mrs. B'nai Noach, and it's not just Shiva Mrs. B'nai Noach. Shiva Mrs. B'nai Noach has a whole Torah involved in it. With mitzvot line 30, Gezel Isrichu Damim. Two other mitzvot that are B'nai Noach. You're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to kill. Chukotai, my commandments. Eva min hachai. You're not allowed to have Eva min hachai. Right? Eat a live animal. Kalayim shal harba'at behema. Harkabat ilan. That's grafting or using different animals, putting different animals together. Torotai, dinim b'isure avodazara. Se'ilu kulan itztavu behem v'nei Noach. So what is God saying? Abraham Avinu was my biggest tzaddik in the world. Because everybody else, they kept Shiva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. They were all modern Orthodox, right? You know, they kept the mitzvahs, they didn't keep the mitzvahs. They were traditional. So they only ate Eber Min HaChai out in restaurants. They didn't eat Eber Min HaChai at home. Right? But what about my Abraham Avinu? He was the only guy that wouldn't eat Eber Min HaChai in the restaurant. Then he would go to a restaurant, they would say, do you want to eat the live crab? And he would say, I don't eat live crab. And everybody would snicker at him.
Vegetarian.
What? He said, I'm vegetarian, right.
We'll go back to the same question. How did he know about
it? No. Shiva Mrs. B'nai Noach were transmitted from the times of Noah.
God told him.
So then you would say, how would he know all those dukes over him?
Because
he would be able to divine what the divine will was, which is, you know, with his relationship with God. So God says, God, I want you to have courts. So Abraham would talk to God and say, how do you want the court to be? What's the divine court? What is it supposed to be? That I could see. That's not so far-fetched. That's not so crazy. Okay. He's keeping God's will. So Avraham Avinu was very machmir, right? Not only would he live animals, he wouldn't eat an animal 5 minutes after it died. You know, whatever it was. You know, he was very careful. We have mitzvahs, so Avraham Avinu was very machmir. He was very nice. So maybe Ramban says, that's what you want to say. Okay, you could say that. Do you like it? Why not? What?
You have to believe it anyway.
The problem with this is, it's not what the Midrash really says. The Midrash seems to imply that Avraham kept the Torah. Not that he just kept Shiva Mrs. Ben Noah. So look at the top, next comment. V'hanira Eli midat rabotein. It seems to me that what Chazal was trying to transmit is the following. Shalamat Avraham Avinu Torah kula beruach hakodesh. Avraham, he received the Torah in ruach hakodesh. The asakva ubeta'amei mitzvoteha v'sodoteha. So Ramban really did believe. It wasn't that it was transmitted, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted the mitzvot to Avraham Avinu. Avraham said, God, I want to become closer to you. These seven are not enough. Give me more. So God said, you know what? I was really saving it for your children, your great-great-grandchildren. But I'll tell you what. I'll let you know what you have to do. And that's what Avraham did. The Shamar Ota, line 3, Kula Kemisha'ena Mitzvah Ve'oseh. He was not commanded, but nonetheless he wanted to keep the mitzvot. Ushmirat, listen to what he says. This is Ramban to the T. This is so beautiful. Ushmirato tahaya be'eretz bilvad. Where do you have to? Where did Avraham decide I'm going to keep the mitzvos?
Only in the land.
Only in Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu said, if I'm going to be in God's holy land, if this is the place where God's going to want me to be, this is the place where my children are going to keep these mitzvos, and when I'm here, that's where I want to keep these mitzvos. But the Yaakov b'chutz la'aretz nasa ha'achayos. Where did Yaakov marry the sisters? Chutzla. It's a very dangerous idea, by the way, that there's really two sets of rules. One in the land of Israel, and one outside the land of Israel. Okay? You don't think it's dangerous? I mean, for Avraham Avinu, it's fine. Right, but we're not talking about that. We're saying, you know, actually, it's very interesting. The Torah really speaks to this idea very strongly, that you shouldn't think that there are two sets of mitzvahs. Where does the Torah tell us about this very strongly, that you would think that once I kick you out of Israel, you wouldn't have to keep the mitzvot? So the Torah says, no, you better do it. Where? You want to tell me where? You all know this place, I guarantee it.
Shema?
Where? Shema. Very good. Where in the Shema? Was that just a wild guess? Right, very good. The Torah says in Shema, right, that you bow down to the gods, and you're going to get kicked out. You're going to get thrown off the land. He says, nonetheless, even after you get out, kicked out of the land of Israel, nonetheless, you still have to keep the mitzvot, you still have to learn the Torah, and you still have to teach it to your children. So it would have been very logical for us to think exactly like Avraham Avinu himself. In Israel, yes. Out of Israel, Oak Park, Michigan, no problem. Go to whatever restaurant you want. It's not that way. Okay? So it's interesting. We have Rashi. Rashi implies that Avraham Avinu learned all the Torah. Ramban says he didn't learn the whole Torah. What did he learn? Just Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't have the actual Torah because Baruch Hu transmitted it to him. Look at the end, line 20 in the second column. V'al derech hapshat nomar. What does that mean, derech hapshat? So what does it mean according to the pshat? So what was he learning before? If it wasn't pshat before, what was it before? Midrash. Right, he's learning midrash. So what's the difference according to the Ramban and the midrash? The important thing is, what the Ramban is trying to say is that Avraham Avinu had such a relationship with God that he wanted to get as close to God and be as God-fearing and God-observant as he possibly could. That's what the Midrash was telling me. Do I think that it literally happened? There's a Midrash, and then there's al-Derech HaPshat. But the Midrash is trying to convey an ideology. So to me, did the Ramban think that Avraham Avinu really learned through Ruach HaKodesh? The Baalei Midrash are trying to convey that idea. But what's very important to me is Avraham Avinu had a very close relationship with God, and that he wanted to continually improve his relationship with God. Let's just finish it up. Baderach Hapshat, line 20. Nomar Shiyehei Mishmarti. What is my Mishmeret? Emunat Elahut She'emin B'Shem HaMiyuchad B'Shamar Mishmeret Zeh B'Libo. What does it mean, a guy who kept my covenant? That he believed in God, and he believed in the unity of God, monotheism. He called many people to worship God. Mitzvotai, what are my mitzvot? What did Abraham keep? Whatever God told him to do. Chukotai, my commandments, my statutes, 25. La'alecha b'darchei Hashem, b'yot chanun v'rachum. To be a God-fearing person, to be compassionate, kind. Osef shzecha u'mishpa, to do kindness and justice. Torotai, what is my commandments? Torotai, hamila be'atzmo. That's to do mila, him and his children. So the Ramban says, you have to understand, in this issue there's Midrash, and then there's Pshat. Which one is right? They're all right. You know, we always get so caught up in what did Avraham Avinu really do? What really happened? Did the Midrash really happen? Or did Pshat really happen? So what's the answer? Both really happened, in a very real way. Well, how could them both really happen? Because they both really happened on different levels. And does it matter? Did Abraham Avinu really, like, you know, have a Torah like we had? No, I don't think so.
Did he keep it over to Yitzchak?
What do you think?
Did he give it over to
Yitzchak?
I think it's the Ruach HaKodesh.
The Ruach HaKodesh aspect? Clearly.
Yeah. Yes,
clearly.
I think so. It's over.
Right.
Do you think he knew?
See, it's interesting. Even Abraham and Yitzchak, Abraham is traveling around. The problem with being an Abraham, the thing that really comes out of this for me is the problem with being an Abraham or a Yitzchak is you're really the only one in the world that can do it. You know, here we preach orthodoxy, right? We preach a certain type of simchah. So we say, you know, we want all the Jews to do this, and people are becoming more observant, and we try to get as many people as possible who are Jewish to follow the Torah. But we don't really, we want everybody to do what we do. Abraham Avinu didn't want everybody else to be frum, as it were. He himself felt that this is what he wanted to do. What did he want everybody else to do?
To believe in God.
Just believe in God. Keep the seven mitzvahs. So can you imagine how isolationist that must be to know that I'm on a level where not only am I not going to get other people to do it, I don't really want them to do it.
Why didn't you want them to do it?
Because it's not it wasn't for them. It's not meaningful for them.
He said also not what Hashem wanted at that time.
Correct. It's not what God had wanted people to do either. They weren't ready.
He would have given everyone the Torah if that's what he wanted at that time.
Correct.
That we're supposed to know.
Right. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, like every so often, I have somebody call me up and say, Rabbi, I'm looking to convert. I think I'm very, how shall we say, not liberal when it comes to conversions. You know, I mean, meaning... I have friends who feel that, I mean, obviously you make an effort to try to convince people not to. But, you know, even after that, I think that conversion is very hard in today's day and age. So, you know, usually people come to me and they say, listen, I want to convert. And so, you know, in the Rambam it says, well, you know, you really don't, you know, you're not supposed to, it's bad to be a Jew. You know, look at all the anti-Semitism in the world and how hard it is. The thing I say to people is the following, you know, the Torah doesn't want you to be a Jew. The Torah wants you to live a good, upstanding life as a Gentile. That's really, you know, we are the only religion in the world that doesn't proselytize to anybody else.
Right.
Muslims, the Hoya has to have holy jihad, right?
Yeah.
Christians, the Crusades are over, they're still doing them. Southern Baptists believe they're going to convert the whole world. Right? That, they all believe that. Catholics got to convert the whole world. Judaism, who are we going to convert?
No.
Nobody. You know, we don't talk about that enough, interestingly enough. You ever get that? I always sometimes feel we spend so much time focusing on ourselves and on, you know, my tzitzis long enough and how black are my tefillin and, you know, did I eat Chal of Yisrael or not eat Chal of Yisrael? Now, we don't, and us, it's our job, the firm, the Shomri Torah and Mitzvahs. We don't preach godliness in the world. Nobody's going out and saying, I believe in God, I'm a God-fearing person, I believe in the Torah, and because I believe in this, you all have to believe in God. You all have to live upstanding lives. We don't really preach that at all. Do we? Do anybody that talks about that? You know, because we kind of like hold ourselves up in our little world.
So we do what Abraham did.
We don't do what Abraham did. No way. Abraham ran from place to place by you, Rabbi Shem Hashem. You know what Abraham, we like to think Abraham was opening Chabad houses. That's not true. You know what Abraham was opening? Abraham was opening non-denominational churches. Sounds controversial? It's not. What's a non-denominational church? Not to believe in Yashka, Chas V'Shalom. Believe in God. You know, to be honest with you, how many people in the world are searching for this? They're thirsting for this? Most Christians don't believe in Yashka. They just don't believe in it. It's hard to believe. I don't believe in it either. No, of course not. It's hard to believe. They don't believe in it. So they come to you and they say, you know, I believe in God. They all believe in God, that there's something greater than they are. But nothing allows them to express that faith. That's all Abraham Zinu was doing. Believe in God. God cares about you. God loves you. You have obligations in the world because of God. We never say that. When did we ever say that? When was the last time anybody here talked to a non-Jew about God? It's so worried about tears, you know?
There are enough Jews who don't do the things that you're supposed to do to talk to them if you want to talk to somebody.
Yeah, but we do one at the expense of the other. Remember I told you I was talking to that Lutheran guy? I think I mentioned it. So he wanted to know, like what's Reform's problem with Orthodoxy? And I said, I think what the problem is that we're very parochial. We care sometimes so much about the nitty-gritty that we forget about the other aspect. You know, what about the Orla Goyim thing? When's the last time any of us ever worked in a soup kitchen? Not a Jewish one. Not a Jewish one. When's the last time anybody gave money to a non-Jewish charity?
Well,
okay, what is the proportion of charity you give to Jewish or non-Jewish? Mine would have to be 100 to 1. It would have to be 100 to 1, maybe. If at all. No. About from non-Jewish to non-Jewish.
Well,
tzedakah is tzedakah. Poor people are poor. Yeah, you're supposed to worry about the Jewish people. Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying? But what about, you know, how come we as some Jews are not worried about the starving people in Ghana? You know, you're right, we do have our own causes, but sometimes we become so concerned with ourselves that we forget about the world around us. And Abraham Avinu was not. It would have been very easy for Abraham Avinu to hold himself up and close himself off and really not worry about the world around him. But he went from place to place, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. He worried about his son. So then, it's interesting. Yitzchak does exactly the opposite. How many people does Yitzchak make from?
Nobody. Just himself is saying.
This is just one person.
Just
who? Who's the one person?
His wife.
No. Yaakov.
Yaakov.
You know, so you have these exact diametric opposites. On the one hand, you have what?
Mean
he transmitted this God fearingness. I mean, from
father.
Yeah. What? Apparently, they say Rivka was from before.
Wasn't
because I felt she was before. That's for him. Well, what do you mean for him? She was God fearing before him.
She grew up in Betuel's house.
Even in Betuel's house. Right. Even in his house. Yeah, Mrs. Stone.
No, I want to understand. If somebody were asking that, how come Yaakov was there to marry two sisters?
Yeah.
The answer is not outside of Israel, it's before the Torah.
Yeah, that's the way to answer I would do. I would say, why not? That's what I would say. Because there was no restriction at that point.
I heard that they weren't sisters.
Really?
I heard they were stepsisters.
Oh, come on. Okay. So it's so interesting when the Torah presents us these diametric opposites. On the one hand, Abraham really concerned himself so much so with the outside world, almost to the exclusion of his own family. Whereas
like
Yitzchak, what?
Like Moshe.
Yeah, like Moshe.
People, their children.
They often watch out.
I don't have to worry so much. Don't worry. You think it's not a concern?
It's true.
You know, you could become so consumed with your communal responsibilities, you forget about your parental responsibilities. It's something we talk about in the rabbinic circles quite a bit. And then Yitzchak is so interesting. You can do the exact opposite. What did Yitzchak do? Yitzchak, almost like, you know, like the Chayim Chazanish, shut himself up in the room for 40 years. To the exclusion of his children also. You know, not that I don't know what Chazanish did to his children, but to the exclusion of that he didn't even know his own children. So you have such diametric opposites. Abraham didn't know his own children. Abraham not didn't know, but Abraham, you see there's, you know, separation between Abraham and Yitzchak. Abraham's in Beersheba, Yitzchak's wherever he was. Remember we talked about last week?
Yes.
And then Yitzchak also separated because of his introspection. Both of those are two interesting examples in Yiddishkeit, focusing on the outside, on the external. On the other hand, focusing on the internal. And then there is Yaakov, which is what? What did Yaakov do? Right, tried to do the best of both. Which I think is what we really strive for. But which, in which order?
You have to live in the world. You have to take care of your family.
First, you've got to worry about yourself.
First, the base.
That's right. First, you establish the base. You've got to worry about yourself. And only then can you move beyond. You know, and sometimes I think that's really the model that the Orthodox community has to really start thinking about. Because if we continue to think about ourselves and think about ourselves and think about ourselves, it's going to become all-consuming, in a sense.
But now,
you know,
excuse me, not all Jews think about themselves. There's many, many Jews that don't give to a Jewish cause and just give mostly to goyim.
We complain about that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should also give to Jewish causes.
Right.
They should also.
There are many, many Jews that give only to goyim.
Well, I understand that. I do understand that. But by us only focusing on Jewish causes, are we somehow neglecting our responsibility vis-a-vis the rest of the world? You don't think so?
There's a lot of people in the world.
You don't think so? It's just an interesting question. It's an interesting question. What? I'm not talking about money. I'm not worried about the money. You know what I'm saying?
They're going to help us.
I'm not talking about the money, per se. I'm worried about our focus. You know, I'm just raising the question. I'm not anti-Kira, I'm not anti-gay, you know, of course, give the Federation, and I'm wondering, sometimes we become so concerned internally, you know, about this school and that school, and become so consumed with the dynamics of our community, of our own little community, that we ignore the community at large. And there are ramifications for that, when we ignore the community at large.
But one of the circumstances is that the family oriented.
What's that?
Orthodox.
Correct.
People,
sure.
We always have a Shabbat with a family, so your children do get the attention.
Correct.
Because it's just one day a week.
Right. See, it's interesting. For me, I live in my own little world in the shul. I'm not out there in the world.
Shelter.
I'm very, very sheltered.
Well,
in a very real way.
Lot of interests that come from the shul.
But I'm not out there in the world. All of you are much more out there in the world. You know non-Jewish people through your work and through your interactions, through your everyday interactions. You know, how are we perceived in the outside world?
I think I pay enough attention in the world if I listen to the news at night.
See, I don't know if I agree with that.
That's enough.
Because if you just listen and you don't do anything
it's
to influence the world.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, but what I'm asking you is,
bad.
What's our responsibility for that? About that?
Oh,
what can you do? To throw your hands up? So you can do one of two things. You could do one of two things. You could do one of two. You could do one of two things. You could shut yourself in.
I'm not shutting myself in, but I can't do anything about it. Can I stop your act? Can I make them different? No.
Don't go throw for a bush.
What?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm being too vague. Maybe I'm being too general. But it just sometimes it's important to ask these questions to see the model of an Abraham, and to see the model of a Yitzchak, and then as we're going to see next week, we're going to see the model of a Yaakov, and to ask ourselves: sometimes are we being too Yitzchak-like in our communal interactions? I'm just throwing the question. You understand the question? I just want to make sure that I'm clear.
Whether
they are not Jews, whether they are not from. If you're Kiddush Hashem, what we do, what God forbid we do. That's the matter.
You're not
when you're
home, too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you're not going to change, hopefully, what you do at home. I mean, you have to change. Now, it's the thing that I didn't put out. I just want to, you'll look at this later on. You're going to notice that Yitzchak comes, that Avimelech comes to Yitzchak to make a treaty, just like he did with Abraham.
Yeah.
So I recommend taking a look at this. So Rashi says, that Avimelech comes to Yitzchak, and he says, why are you coming to me? And now, what are you doing here? Let me see if I can find it. So Avimelech comes and says, Vayomru, Ra'ovra'inu, I saw, ki haya Hashem imach. God is with you. And Vanoman, I said, Tehina Allah benoseinu ubeinenu ubeinacha, benichasa bris imach. I want to make a covenant with you. Rabbi Sha'idi talks about this often. When we Jews are what we're supposed to be, when we have the relationship we're supposed to have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then the nations of the world respect us. when we don't do what we're supposed to do, then they don't come to us asking for treaties. So it's, you know, so I'm wavering. You know, I'm sorry if I'm all over the place today.
Very scary.
What? Very scary. So maybe our job is to be the best that we're supposed to be and to have the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and then the nations of the world will look to us. And maybe you want to say, Mrs. Sellison, that that's our responsibility?
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds pretty good. How have I? From your mouth to God's ears, to all Jews' ears. Okay. Mm-hmm.